title of my sermon for today is Revelation and Royalty. It's based on our second lesson, so wonderfully read by Leo, one of our confirmation students here in the Memorial Church. Will you pray with me? God, cleanse me that I may speak truly of you. And let us all be open to your Spirit among us, that we might know only your will and your way. Amen. As children, my brother and I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. She cared for us while my parents were at work, and as we got older, she saw us on and off the school bus. One of the many things she loved to do was tell us stories from the Bible, often from her own memory. Story time always followed lunch. The placement of this activity, I am convinced, was for the purpose of inducing us to sleep. However, there is one Bible story that I vividly remember failing to bring about nap time. The apocalypse. My grandmother was adamant about us knowing scripture, and this meant all of it. The apocalypse, you will recall, refers to the events in the book of Revelation. This is a book and a story that has a reputation for guiding Christians in the prediction of the final destruction of the world as brought about by the ultimate judgment of God. The story, it includes angels, seven-headed beasts, a lamb opening up a scroll, among a series of other bizarre figures. The portion we heard read today is from the introduction of the book. Therefore, it is absent of most of these creatures and is absent of the violent and misogynistic imagery that follows in the subsequent chapters. A perfect story for a child's nap time. The book of Revelation wasn't always popular among Christians. In fact, the book almost didn't get included in the Bible, as many early Christians found it at best an uneasy text, and at worst, heretical. The book's recent popularity is, I think, largely due to famed literary works like the Left Behind series, as well as the end times predictions made by contemporary Christian personalities like the late Harold Camping. So what are we supposed to make of the book of Revelation? Is there a message there in it for us? The book, it is classified as apocalyptic literature, along with the book of Daniel and other portions of the Bible. The word apocalypse, it comes from the Greek, meaning to reveal, thus giving us the title Revelation. What is detailed in the book is a vision, a revealing that is attributed to a certain man, this John of Patmos. The revelation is a narrated message from God directly to our ears via John's pen. The truth at the center of Revelation is conveyed through elaborate images that are meant to get the attention of those reading and hearing it. A story that is to wake us up. John of Patmos, he wrote down this vision with the intent for it to be read, for it to be read in Christian communities just like this one, although he is specifically writing to seven churches in Asia. He is sending this letter to some Christians who have forgotten who they are. The story of these early Christians resonates, I think, surprisingly well with the Christians rereading this ancient text today in this church and in churches around the country. You see, the Christians John was writing to were living in a tumultuous time when Rome's leadership was not so sure, and the empire's oppression was omnipresent. For safety, or maybe it was for power, these early Christians began to forsake their way as followers of Jesus. They took on the Roman culture. They accommodated the empire. With no end in sight, the Christians saw it practical to signal their allegiance to the empire, to signal their loyalty to the Roman state by worshiping Roman deities, of which the emperor was one. Ultimately, it became economically advantageous for Christians to set aside their concern for God, as those successful shopkeepers were the ones who were patrons of Rome. Thus, to avoid socioeconomic ostracism, the recipients of John's letter aligned themselves with the empire. We are like these ancient churches, tempted and pressured to fall into alignment with current trends. But also like those churches of old, we too are called to something greater than earthly gains. Today in the church calendar is the last Sunday after Pentecost, which is also called the Reign of Christ Sunday, or the Sunday of Christ the King. We heard this theme of Christ as King echoed in some of our music and our prayers this morning. And this monarchical motif may be a bit jarring for us moderns, but it's supposed to be. It's countercultural to believe that Jesus reigns over our lives and all the earth, that Jesus upends earthly powers. To be clear, this reign of Christ is not about secularism, but it's about Jesus upholding the human dignity of all and instilling a shared humanity. What is equally as radical as this is that Jesus pleads with each and every one of us to do the same. According to Revelation verse 6, in the first chapter, Jesus made us to be a kingdom of people serving God. This verse in John's letter is John reaching out to us from the past, to people who are in church today reading his letter, letting us know that, like the seven churches in Asia, we are servants of God, not of some idol. The kingdom John speaks of, it is not one of end time predictions or one in some far away future, but it is one that is here among us, established by the love of Jesus. We belong to God, and our lives, our actions, everything we do must reflect this. In his commentary on Revelation, Brian Blount suggests that apocalyptic literature has an ethical motivation. Followers of Jesus must choose sides. They must put themselves on the side of God. Indeed, the book of Revelation does require our action. It required those early Christians to check themselves. They needed to reevaluate their actions as God's people belonging to the kingdom here on earth. And still, we Christians are called by John of Patmos to again remember who we are and whose we are. Christ reigns over us as king and teaches us that we are endowed with a royal status. Jesus himself taught us this as he fed the hungry, loved those who persecuted him, and welcomed those on the outskirts. There wasn't a table where Christ wouldn't eat, and there wasn't a soul too lost for his love. We are all made in Christ's image. We are all cast and created as royalty. This is what it means to have Christ as king. That we are not destined to rule over one another. No one is less human. No one is less precious. Does our inherent royal status mean then that we leave this place, this building, bowing and curtsying to one another? Maybe. Maybe it does. But I believe our royal status demands more from us than a half-hearted bended knee. This radical theme of our divine right, it extends throughout the entirety of the Bible. From beginning to end, from Revelation to Genesis, we see God demanding that everyone is precious to God. Yes, it is true that some of God's people made errors and continue to make errors. The people forget their royal status, but God reminds them. God reminds us. God sends us prophets, poets, and visionaries like John of Patmos. For whenever we fail to live in a way that is befitting of the crowns upon our heads. Rabbi Shai Held, in a piece entitled "We're All Royalty," summed it up this way. He says, quote, "In the ancient world, it was the king who was responsible for protecting and defending the widow and the orphan. It was the queen who was accountable for their well-being. If we are made in God's image, that means we are all responsible for the fate of the vulnerable and the downtrodden. What we encounter in the first chapter of the Bible is a momentous democratization of moral responsibility. It's not just the king who is responsible. You and I are, too." The book of Revelation offers quite a revealing message of what God expects of us. John's message to the seven churches in Asia is one with the magnitude of end times. To remember that we are a kingdom of royalty with the moral imperative to uphold the dignity and humanity of one another is certainly apocalyptic. The book of Revelation calls us to wake up, and remember our way. We must not forget whose we are and what that means for our lives. It's not just Christ the King who is responsible. You and I are responsible too. Even when it seems as though our world is ending and evil is encroaching in on all sides, we must not forgo our way. Like those Christians in the seven churches in Asia, we can't accommodate or give in to the pressures of empire and exclusion. Our identity as royalty in the kingdom of Christ will not allow it. We do not live to placate the powers that be. No, we have been made a kingdom to serve God. We have been made a kingdom to account for the well-being of our neighbors and ourselves. We are of royal heritage, and in all things, we belong to God. I'm not sure that this is the message my grandmother intended me to get from her striking retelling of Revelation during nap time. But when I remember the conviction of the voice behind her words, I am awakened to God's claim on my own life. And that is truly a revelation. Amen.